All right, we'll get back to these calls in a second. So I still enjoy the speeches, the MLB speeches for the Hall of Fame. We're getting ready for that this weekend. And did you guys see the video of CC Sabathia, basically? I mean, their car broke down. They're like, hey, anybody want to take us to Cooperstown? I don't know where they were, but I could see one of the mile markers, so they're obviously on a highway. The entire Sabathia clan. So hopefully they got there safely, scooped up. The great CC, really happy for him. Do you know how the story ended there, Dolph? Because you're grabbing your mic.
I don't. All I was going to say is my thought when I saw the story was it's like the Yankees on the road to the World Series. Their car breaks down because they're not getting there.
Dolph. You're probably right, unfortunately. All right, so you got the class of five. You got Dick Allen, Parker, CC, Ichiro, Wagner. So I never saw Dick Allen play once. His last season was 77. I never saw him take a swing. Dave Parker, I don't remember him as a Pirate. I mean, I know what he did there. I only really remember him as a Red. I remember when the Mets were playing the Reds and like from like 84 on. That's when I remember him as a big, hulking, intimidating beast as a Red. And everything else was like on This Week in Baseball or, you know, highlights as a Pirate. But and then of course CC, Ichiro, and Wagner, I've seen their entire careers. Now, And I'm happy for Wagner, and he deserves it. And, of course, I'm happy for CeCe, and he deserves it. But I just wanted to focus on Ichiro for a sec. You know, to me, it's Ted Williams, it's Tony Gwynn, the greatest pure hitters of all time, and then it's Ichiro. And, you know, I'm not so sure. I can't prove it, but you also can't disprove the statement. If I were to say that if Ichiro would have come over earlier from Japan, that it wouldn't be Ted Williams, it wouldn't be Tony Gwynn, that it would be Ichiro, who's considered to be the greatest pure hitter of all time. Ichiro was just ridiculous. And, you know, it's funny, too, because you hear this with Judge. We know this with Aaron Judge. Because Judge went to Fresno State and then the minors, he started his career at the age of 24. Whenever Spencer Jones gets up here, and, you know, I mean, can't expect him to be Aaron Judge, but, like, if he does some good things, he, too, is going to be victimized by a late start for his major league career. So Aaron Judge, because he was 24, whether it's, he's going to, you know, knock on wood if he stays healthy, 500 is going to be with his eyes shut. But how much beyond 5 or 550 or 600 does Judge get? I don't know. It's a lot of games that he didn't get to play, not to mention the COVID-shortened season in 2020, where they only played 60, and he didn't play all 60, not to mention earlier injuries where games were robbed. And not next year, but the year after that, there's going to be, I believe, and I've said this for 2 years now, a brutal, protracted lockout and stoppage of baseball. So you're going to be looking at more games that Aaron Judge is not going to have a chance to pad the stats just based on, you know, the time's ticking. And while we talk about Judge in that regard with 24, coming up at 24, Ichiro came up at 27. He's 27. And, you know, to me, like the pureness, one of the reasons why I love Bellinger, and I'm not putting Bellinger anywhere near Ichiro, not even similar players, but what I love about Bellinger is he's got power, you know, he's not going to hit 230, he could run, he's got a great arm, he could field anywhere, and, you know, Ichiro, you know, me and Sal talk about, like, the ball player, like, hey, this guy's a ball player, David Wright, ball player, you just know ball player. You know what the term means? It means there's really no weaknesses, he's a ball player, right? And Ichiro was a ball player. He could have sold out and probably popped 10 more home runs a year and probably chiseled off 15 or 20 points on the batting average. Same with Boggs. Same with Gwynn, I'm sure. Maybe not Carew, because he just had a very like soft swing. Carew's swing was different. I think those other guys who are high average hitters could have hit a lot more home runs and sacrificed some numbers there. But think about this. Ichiro, all right, finished with just over, he's got what, 3,089 hits. And, you know, not to inundate you with stats here, but when you look at Ichiro's numbers, I mean, again, coming up at the age of 27, I mean, this guy's busting out years where he's got 240 hits every year, 230, 240, just a barrage on the record books. I think the name was George Sisler, if I'm not mistaken, where he broke the one of Sisler's records back in the day. And, you know, Ichiro, 242, 262. I think that was the Sisler mark, I think. 224, 238, 213, 225, 214. That led the league. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 or 8, you know, hit titles. So if he would have come up at the age of, say, 24, like Judge, this is the point, And without going nuts, I'm going to be conservative here, and I'm going to give him 200 hits a year instead of 240, 250, or 260. You just do a little simple math. Suddenly, 3,089 hits becomes automatically, conservatively speaking, 3,689. Now, where does that place? Well, he jumps in front of Stan Musial, who's fourth right now at 3,630. Derek's behind him. And now he's in the neighborhood of Hank Aaron, and then obviously Ty Cobb and Pete Rose. I'm of the mindset that if Ichiro would have come over at a conventional age, he would have flew by Pete Rose. And even though Pete Rose has the most hits, you've never heard me say this. I actually push back the other way. Pete Rose, to me, wasn't one of the 10, 15, 20 greatest pure hitters of all time. I think if Ichiro comes over here, you know, like say he was a college kid or a high school kid, and he plays 2 years in the minors, comes up, he's 22, 23, you know. That's three or four or five more years of ball. He's the all-time hits king. And because the average was so amazing and he never struck out, I believe that there would have been a lot of people. I probably would have been doing it as well because I didn't see Ted Williams carrying the mail for him as the greatest pure hitter of all time. And a rocket from right field and a blur on the bases. So, pretty wild. Bobby's in Connecticut. What's up, Bobby? How are you today, kid?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, BT?
Good. Thanks.
Hey, I'm calling maybe to push back a little bit, but I wanted to get your opinion because we've been talking third base all year. My particular opinion is the most important infield position, if you're going to win a ring, is shortstop.
Yep. I agree.
And you said you wouldn't send Volpe down. I'm not giving up on Volpe, but I think the Yankees have to fix him, mm-hmm. and I don't think fixing him under the New York City spotlight every day in and day out, he's proven that's not working.
Yep.
I think they need to either send him down to Tampa with some coaching, Willie Randolph, whomever,
mm-hmm.
Or to AAA, and you know let him reset. Might be a good thing. But if you keep him at shortstop, then you're saying we're not going to win this year. And your comment about, hey, let's move Dominguez to center. I've always said that you got to be strong up the middle, and Volpe and Dominguez up the middle to me is saying this is not the year. Which if that's what you're saying, and we're going to waste another year of Judge, then I would tend to disagree with you.
I got you. Well, Bob, let me tell you exactly what I'm saying. Not what I tend to say. What I am saying is this: the way they look now, not happening. So let's do something about this. Jazz is great at second. Volpe was very good at short. And, you know, you're sitting here basically denouncing the skill or the ability of Dominguez to play center. How the hell do you know? That's what he is. You know, when he was that top prospect coming up, wasn't playing left field. Now, of course, switch hitter, pop, six speed, like that elevates his prospect status, of course. But he was not a butcher in center field by any stretch. He's a butcher in left field now. They're not going to do that. I would do it, though. Eddie is in Wantagh. BT and Sound on the Fan. What's up, Ed?
Hey, BT.
Hey.
Just a question for you. Have you ever been to the Little League World Series?
As a fan?
Yeah.
No, I watch it every year. I've never been to Williamsport. No, not yet.
Oh, as a coach and as involved as you are with your kids, mm-hmm. take them. Do yourself the favor. It is the best experience. I used to take my kids to Williamsport. They say there's nothing in life that's free. Well, Little League Baseball at Williamsport is free.
I know.
And the talent level is fantastic.
Yep.
You're watching kids play from all over the world.
I know.
It's to the point where, you know, my kids and I have talked about it for now that they're older. You know, my middle son, who actually went to Little League Baseball camp, which is the best value there is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He called me and said, for Father's Day, I'm telling you the date. We're going to the Little League World Series.
Ah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I watch it all the time. Matter of fact, thanks for the call, Ed. It's like one of the only pure things left in sports. Let's be honest here. I mean, what else is pure? You want a new bat, $450, $500. You want a real glove and not something from, you know, generic, you know, sporting goods store, $300, $350, like a real one, you know? Everything's expensive. You want to take lessons, you want to do, like, I get it. Uniforms, helmets, but Little League, the value, the virtue, the bang for the buck, no doubt. I mean, there's been times where, because my son watches it all, we watch it together. Sometimes I just wake up, and he's an early riser on the weekend, which sucks, but sucks for me, you know. But although he's old enough now to get his own stuff, and I to go feed him right away. But he'll just kind of go to YouTube and put on a random, you know, I don't mean from like the 70s, but like the last couple of years, a Little League World Series game. I'm like, oh, who's playing? Like 2003, I don't know, you're watching Hawaii, whatever. He loves it. I love it. But one of the number one logistically, we're still playing. Well, not we. I've played for years. He's still playing. And then the other thing too is, you know, and I guess I'd have to make a decision. But the decision really made for us. Like by the time Williamsport is really cooking with the World Series, he's in football camp. And I don't mean like camp where you pay $300 a week to go for. I mean the camp with his team to start the season. He plays quarterback. He's not leaving. So. It sounds great. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to go to Williamsport. I'd love to. Do I think it happens unless we're playing there in a couple of years? Probably not. But, man, I feel you. And it's great that you had that bond with your son, that you've done. It's tremendous.